B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Friday, Mike Missinelli Show. I don't know where you're going. Did this new surge stop you from wanting to go to the beach this weekend? Don't know. I don't know how you're feeling about that. Anyway, the 4 o'clock hour is brought to us by Landis Blog, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Online at landisbc.com. Our next guest joins us every Friday from 4 to 5 to talk about the issues, sports and non-sports. He, of course, is the great number 36, living life on the farm in Maryland. The great Brian Westbrook joins us. B. West!
Good afternoon, Mikey Miss. How are you, my friend?
How are you? You sound like you're back on the ISDN line. You back in Brooklyn?
I'm not. No? They have these apps these days.
Oh,
so these
okay.
Apps kind of upgrade the sound just a little bit, so it sounds a little bit better.
It does sound good.
Yeah, man.
All right, through the app. So what's going on at the farm there today?
You know, today, so we've been trying to get this seed down, which is really, so when you're planting grass, you really want to do it either in the fall or the spring. Definitely not this time of year, but just because I was a little late and a little negligent on a couple of different things, I did not seed this year. So there's a couple of fields that we needed to get some seed down. So this morning, me and my dad went out and seeded some fields and things like that. Now we have to figure out how we're going to get some water to it. So it's an ongoing process, but I'm just happy. I'm happy that it's Friday, number one. I'm happy I get to talk to you. But more importantly than that, I'm happy that we now have a schedule for basketball, because I'm kind of curious to see what's going to happen with the rest of the season. I still think the Sixers have a chance, a weird chance to make it to the finals, and especially with everyone being healthy. But I'm happy that now they have basketball back, and I know you're happy because they've set a date for baseball as well.
Yeah, but see, now the baseball thing is a little more precarious because 1,800 people are involved in this whole thing, and they're coming from states that now are surging. So I have no idea what's going to happen to baseball. And the only thing you can count on right now is NBA. But I want to ask you about the NFL, because the NFL, interestingly enough, just goes merrily along like nothing's going on. Like their plans are the same. You know, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and that's the way it's going to go. And they don't really put any kind of protocol in place, because I guess that's up to the team. But do you think it's going to be as easy as they're giving the public the impression it's going to be?
Not at all. I think that just like what's happening with some of the college programs and, of course, some of the NBA programs, as they get back together, there are going to be some positive tests. And at that point, depending on the type of person or the player that it is, and I know that we all want to be treated equally as far as in the eyes of owners and things like that inside of that locker room. But the truth is that when you have the quarterback, you have that important DN or that left tackle that gets it, that kind of changes your format. That changes things for a ball club. And so I know that the NFL wanted to have the draft and wanted to have the combine and all these things as normal. They obviously balked on the whole OTA situation, the mini camps. They're not going to have those. But just trying to get into the season without having major cases of the coronavirus, it's hard for me to imagine that that's going to happen. It's hard for me to imagine that we're going to go through this season without some important players being diagnosed with the virus. And it's going to be unfortunate, because at some point, I mean, just imagine if you have an important player diagnosed right before that playoff deciding game, or right in as the playoffs begin. Now you have to make a decision whether you want to, one, report it, but two, if you're going to allow that player to sit out. It's a bad situation. But you know, I think at some point this is what you have to do. You have to get things underway, because there won't be a vaccine for it for a long time.
Let me ask you about the Malcolm Jenkins words that he said on CNN, and he clarified it, but didn't really clarify it. He said football is a non-essential business, and so we don't need to do it. So the risk, you know, has to be really eliminated before I would feel comfortable with going back. Your thoughts on that?
Well, it's spoken like a true veteran, number one. And the reason why it's important to point out veterans is because young guys, when you're a young player in the league, you're chasing that money. You're chasing that respect. You're chasing the opportunity to go and play. So you're willing to take more risks. I'll give you an example. When I had my concussions I had one of these young players call me and they wanted to know all about it because he had just suffered a concussion. And I told him, I would not play if I was in your situation. You're coming back too soon. You're playing too quick. And he said, yeah, I understand what you're saying, West. And I think you're probably right in the long run. However, I haven't been paid like you've been paid over the course of your career. I don't have that respect in my locker room. I got to go out there and play. And that's what you think as a young man. You kind of think you're invincible. And as you get older, you start to think of other things. You think about your family. You think about how other people will be affected if you're going into a locker room with, you know, 50 plus other guys that potentially each and every one could be a carrier of the virus. And so I think he's spoken like a veteran, a leader. And I think he's also trying to bring the NFL to a point where they at least consider it. They have to consider the fact that there are going to be some players that may not want to play, especially if they don't come up with these safe measures to make sure that everyone's safe. And to this point, and I know they're cleaning, I know they're doing all the sterilization types of things. I don't know that we've heard some of the things that they're going to implement for the NFL up to this point. And to me, if I was a player, that would be my number one concern. How can I make sure that I don't catch the virus? And of course, that will kind of eliminate me from getting my family sick as well. Those are my most important things at this point in time in my life.
This league is really interesting to me because they are so like unaffected by stuff. Like they just go merrily along. Like they don't want to confront anything that could be a problem or introduce to their fan base anything that could be a problem.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think the league, again, it's a great example of the draft. They went on. I mean, the draft was in the middle of the doggone coronavirus when things were just ramping up. So many people were in the hospital, sick, and different things like that. And the NFL went on as if it wasn't even happening. And so they faced a lot of different things, you know, with the kneeling thing. They faced a lot of different things over the last couple of years, and they've gone on as business as normal. And I believe that they're trying to put this coronavirus situation in that same bucket. And I just think it's going to be hard because, in my opinion, it will affect different players at different times throughout the year. I mean, just imagine, I may be in the bubble. I may be in a situation where I'm going from practice to home every single day. But one Thursday night, I might want to go have dinner with my family out. And that may put me in a situation where I'm exposed. And now I test positive on a Saturday morning. And I'm a big part of the game plan. That's an issue for football teams, and you just wonder how it's going to play out throughout the course of the season.
Let me get back to this Malcolm thing, because you touched on something that I wanted to discuss a little more in depth. Malcolm Jenkins is a respected, honest diplomat who falls into that category of guys who have made some money and look at it a different way. Mm-hmm. We were talking about this the other day. There are probably a lot of players that feel the way he plays. Now, or feels the way he feels. Now, let's talk about the pressure on a star caliber player. Like, let's take you. You're in your prime. This is going on. You feel ambivalent about going back because you have a family. Do whatever. You don't want to get sick. The whole bit. But the pressure, the fan pressure on their expectations that you would be there. How does that influence you in conflict with keeping yourself healthy?
Well, I wouldn't even mention the fan pressure. I know, you know, as fans, we kind of feel like we have some control, but I think that the pressure would come from inside the locker room mm-hmm. and inside that training staff and with the head coach, you know. And I use it, I kind of put it like an injury. And so you have an ankle injury where it usually could take 4 weeks, but that second week, the coach is looking at you like, hey, man, you're walking fine. You look like you're healthy. You're in the training room doing all the things that I see other athletes doing. Your teammates are seeing you look healthy. And let's say you're not all the way healthy. You want to come back when you're 100% healthy. Let's say at this point, you're only 70% healthy. So you can do a lot of different things. You're just not able to be 100%. And at that point, you start to see your players look at you like, hey, man, when are you coming back? Same thing with the coaches. And that's that pressure that you feel all the time. And I have to believe the pressure to play with this coronavirus situation hanging over our head is going to be the same. It's going to be the guys in the locker room calling you, telling you that, hey, man, you're never going to believe how many times they clean the facility. You're never going to believe how healthy everyone is. No, there's no one coughing. There's none of this. And all of our families are safe. Why don't you come back and try it out? And that's the pressure that I think a lot of guys are going to be under to go out there and play, especially that's really getting calls from your friendships.
Yeah, that's
from
an interesting take here, because this thing is so different that they're like, I understand the comparison you're making with the injury, but you know, that's your body and you know when you're ready to play or not. This is like you're walking into this mist, you know, and you never know when the mist is going to make you sick. So you still think that people would look down at you if you decided that, you know, it's not worth the risk?
Well, I would say yes. And I don't know that look down upon it is the right word that I would describe it as, but I would say the question would be, hey, man, I'm here. Why aren't you? You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, I don't know. So we used to have the OTAs and everything is voluntary. And, you know, let's say it's not a contract situation where many guys wouldn't get involved, but they would be like, hey, Westbrook, everyone's here except for you. And no pressure to come back. I know it's voluntary. No pressure to come back. But just wanted to let you know that everybody else is here.
Yeah, I get that pressure. Yeah,
to me, that's the kind of thing that I think a lot of the players will feel.
Yeah.
And I think the response would be, hey, I want to make sure that I'm healthy. I want to make sure that I'm okay. And then that's when the explanation of how clean, how sterile their environment would be. But I would be concerned. If I'm in my prime, I would be absolutely concerned about this situation. This is something that affects a lot of different people. And of course, it could affect your family, most importantly, because as an athlete, you kind of feel invincible. But I don't want to bring that home to the wife and to the kids. And I think a lot of players will be thinking about that as well.
Let me ask you this, because as far as all leagues go, what do you think would be the breaking point to stop a league from playing once they start? Tyron and I were talking about it, like in the NBA, if LeBron tested positive, that wouldn't be enough to shut it down. But if LeBron and Kawhi did, boom, there it goes. Do you feel that it would have to be a star who's affected for the league to like want to stop playing altogether?
Well, let me ask you guys this, and this is a question for you and Tyrone. Are you saying LeBron because he's the biggest figure in the NBA?
Yes.
Or LeBron and Kawhi? Or are you saying that those are the guys that have, you know, primarily the best chance of winning a championship when they return?
Well, it's the star power, I guess. Always, like, the NBA has always marketed the star. So they're like larger than life. So if two guys that are larger than life go out, it's like, what's the point? You know, maybe that's what they're, or maybe the league wouldn't think that way, in which you would certainly get a diluted product or a diluted championship or whatever.
You got the Greek Freak, too, is another
name. Yeah, there you go.
Like thinking top flight guys, because I don't think they'd shut down the league for Embiid.
Let me ask you guys this. I've seen a movement because of George Floyd and, you know, all the things that have been going on in our country where I feel like the players have now recognized their power. And I believe that if the players, and I don't know that it's going to take a Patrick Mahomes or Carson Wentz or one of those types of players or Lamar Jackson, but maybe it takes the players saying, you know what, we have three guys on our team that have contracted the virus. And now I'm calling, you know, I'm Malcolm Jenkins. Now I'm calling Carson Wentz and saying, listen, we got three guys. We play you guys this week. We may have a situation in our hands. And now as players that are now empowered, which I think we've seen over the last couple of months, we're making a decision for the NFL. We're not going to play until better safeguards or safety measures are put in place. I think that at this point, based upon what I've seen from the players over the last couple of months, that may actually happen before the NFL says, we're not going to play a football game.
That's interesting. Now, Mike and Brian, both of you, let's say that happens. Would the NFL, they're very stubborn. Do either of you think the NFL would then move as far as protocol? They're going to play the season. Even if they have to get scab players, they'll go call old XFL players. NFL don't care. But would they move on safety? Does anybody think that they would move on safety if the players actually did that? Like they'd say, look, we want to play, but this isn't safe. You guys have to come up with a better health protocol or we're out. Would the NFL say, shut up and play, we're going to go get somebody else? Or would they actually move and say, okay, we're going to invest extra $10 million per franchise because they have the money in this and that and all that? Would they move is my question.
In my mind, there's no doubt in my mind that Roger Goodell would move. And you know, and I hate to bring up the Colin Kaepernick thing and kind of compare it to this because there's two different things, but that was a major move for the commissioner to come out and say that he was wrong and he didn't listen and the Black Lives Matter and that Colin should get, he recommends that Colin gets a job. I just believe at this point with what's going on in the world and in the professional leagues that the commissioner would say, you know what, this is about safety. Our concern is the players. Because if for him, you can't come to me and say, you know, I'm concerned about the players. Our players are the most valuable thing. And then tell them just shut up and go play football and don't worry about the health concerns. To me, those two things don't match up. And so if he wants those guys to continue to have his back like some of them have had in the past, and he wants to continue to represent the guys, the players, then he's going to have to be very sensitive. And I think all league commissioners are going to have to be very sensitive to what the players are saying, especially around their health and the health of their loved ones in this situation. And to that point, I'm surprised that more basketball players haven't said, you know what, I'm not going in the bubble. I'm not leaving my family. I'm not going to allow them to be away from them for six, 8 weeks, whatever it is. I'm not going to do that. I'm surprised that more players
There's a lot of money at stake. A couple of them have done it. I mean, Avery Bradley from a contender.
But they got money. I mean, NBA players, they have money. And it's guaranteed money.
That's true. But they actually owe money right now. They had to take the partial furlough. They had to take the salary reduction. And they got a CBA in a year, so they'll lose $900 million in this shot, plus some force majeure situation. Basically, the league itself, if they don't return, loses $2 billion. And you know the owners don't lose any. So when they come to do the CBA, guess where that $2 billion is coming from?
Players. Wow.
And that's part that. So they're kind of they have a gun to their head in a way. Like, do you want to cost yourself and your league players your cut of $2 billion?
Yeah, it affects the cap.
All that's right. Yeah. So if you're a free agent, all that stuff, and they also can then your a lot of your percentage contracts are based on percentage of the salary cap. Well, if your cap goes down a prorated $2 billion, your max contract goes from $40 million to $16 million.
What would the NFL do if Tom Brady tested positive?
Tom's trying to get positive too. Tom's trying to catch him. Tom Brady is like actively trying to catch him.
He's in the warehouse right now.
And tweeting out, putting on Instagram,
so
nothing to fear but fear itself.
He doesn't really want to play.
No, he does want to play.
He does want to play.
He thinks that he has this eye. It's the same thing that happened with Djokovic, tennis player who ended up catching it. They believe that they have some regimen that makes the virus impossible to stick to their bodies.
Yeah, because of his TB12 method. He thinks that he's, you know, physically superior and that the virus perhaps will not affect him.
So he's out there, like, doing all kinds of stuff he was told in Florida.
In the Petri dish right now.
Yeah, like, he's in Florida just doing work. Gronk, he's just doing open workouts, no mask, everything. And a quarterback in a workout could darn near wear a mask. He's not running. He could. He's just out there. Nothing to fear but fear itself, he says.
Oh,
Brady's trying to get corona.
610-632-0975. You can climb in right now. It's a really good time to get in, and we'll continue this discussion. Let's go to the phones. Bob in Westchester joining us. What's up, Bob?
Hey, how are you, Mike?
And good. How you doing?
And staff. I'll tell you what. My favorite show right now is your show for two reasons. And one of the reasons is that you do it the right way. I don't know whether you knew this, but Paul Hembakitis.
Hembo.
Hembo went to a church farm school.
Yes, he did. School. Played. He was a baseball player there, right?
Yes, and I was his coach.
Oh, there you go. Hembo's coach. Give me a scouting report on Hembo's game.
Hembo was a good leadoff batter. He was a spray hitter. Never knew which direction he was going with it. I tried to teach him not to be a one-way hitter.
And he
did real well. He went on and played Division III college.
I didn't know that about Hembo.
Out in Ohio, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And anyway, I was my wife, before she passed about 23 months ago, she and I were invited to their wedding in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And that was excellent, and it was a lot of fun. But Paul in baseball... Paul, his middle name is B. Paul B. Hembakitis Baseball, because he lived and breathed it. He still does. He always will.
That's good Hembo information the next time we have him on.
I hope it's more often than it is now, because I'll tell you what, the kid is good. He knows what he's doing. In fact, that's what makes your show special, is that you have your staff shown on the screen. you know, and I really enjoy seeing them work because that's what he did for Mike and Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And he now does it for Greenberg.
Yes. He's a good man, Ed Hembo, Bob.
Oh, Hembo is great and he makes that show work. Because he feeds them all the information that those guys don't know what guys batting averages are.
He's very quick on the trigger. The thing about the show is that we talk about all kinds of stuff. Like, I wanted to bring this up yesterday, but I think it's a good time to bring it up now with Brian. I don't know if you saw that story out of Cambodia. Phnom Penh, in fact. A leech slithered through a man's thing.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Sticking with the date.
He didn't know.
Oh, no.
How
is that possible?
He was wading in a body of water.
Oh, my goodness.
And a leech slithered in and took a pint of blood from his internal organs.
It unleashes this nut.
Yes. And he didn't know it until he had trouble with the tinkle.
Oh, my goodness.
So this is an amazing story. I was reading about it. There was photos, the whole thing. So they did x-rays, and they found out what it was. Can you imagine that?
I'm nauseous.
No. That's a major fear of mine.
I mean, a leech?
Oh, my goodness. Just imagine going to this beautiful country, this beautiful blue water, all these other things. You're swimming around doing different things, and that happens? Oh, my goodness.
It was in his bladder.
Oh, that would ruin vacation.
Now, listen, you got to choose your bodies of water wisely, I'm thinking. Right? If that's a body of water where you know there's going to be leeches in it, you don't go in, do you?
It's hard to tell over there.
It is?
On that show, River Monsters, they talked about it. And one of the river monsters killed some was something really small. So they were looking for all these, like, big fish. And who could have done this damage? And it turned out it was something leech-like that got in there and did a tremendous amount of damage in that area, to the point where they thought something big came and went the other way.
That's why
the inside out
swim in natural waters.
Well, he was searching for shells.
Yeah.
In a pond that he had thought was safe, and had no idea this thing crawled into him. Now that's the thing that I find hard to believe.
He didn't feel it.
Sometimes they're small though. And then
this thing
they
turned out to be this long.
Oh, there's
was it that long?
Wait, hold on. No, there's a picture
after it.
Ate
you
all
the
picture? I'm looking at the picture.
Yeah, you saw the picture of it.
Was it that big when it went in, or did it get big from eating?
Probably right. It took a pint of blood, so that's probably how it got big.
Yeah, it wasn't big like that.
In the bladder.
Hey, Brian.
This is the worst thing I've ever seen.
Brian has a pond on his land. He put a picture up.
Yes.
You go in the water in that pond?
What do you got in there?
No, we got a bunch of fish, bass, bluegill, crappie, catfish. Hopefully we don't have any of those things.
Do you fish that pond?
Absolutely I do.
Do you?
Yeah. That's what he put all the fish in there for. Yes, I can go fishing.
Oh, you stocked it?
We stocked it.
Oh, okay. You stocked it. So when you catch the fish, you get the cast iron pan out?
No, we're throwing back. Last year, we had so many doggone catfish in there, we had to harvest some of them out, so we ended up eating those. But yeah, all the rest of them we throw back.
I guess it's hard to keep them when you get the kids there. They want to throw them back, right?
Yeah, we throw them back. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Hey, kid, turn your head real quick.
This is how we're going to eat tonight.
How often do you go down to the pond and throw the line in?
Probably about 4 or 5 times a week. So, I mean, if there are days where if my dad is not there early enough, I'll just go down fishing and he won't even know that I'm there. I'll be down at the pond just fishing all doggone morning and just come back with a few fish.
I envy this man's life. He's got I love that little pond on my pond. You go down, throw the line in. What kind of bait you use, bro?
Worms,
night crawlers,
some night crawlers, some blood worms, and if we're trying to catch the bass, we'll use artificial bait, something like that, and try to get them through there. Yeah, I was down there this morning. You know what we're having at the pond now is we have this big blue herring that is down there eating fish. I mean, and they can wipe out a dog on pond pretty quickly. So he's down there every single morning putting fish out of that dog on pond, and you can't hunt them. So now you can't kill them, but. They keep coming back.
Get up in the morning, get a little chow, put the hat, put the chaps on, put the hat.
Right. Got the horses.
Right to the stable.
Watch the herring.
Mosey on down to the pond.
That's right. Ride the horse on down to the pond. Tie her up to the pole. That's right.
That's how you got to beat. All right, let's take a break. We're going to come back. 610-632-0975. By the way, we're doing sound off today. So if you would like to sound off, leave a little message. Fridays, we do sound off. And the number is 610-771-9705. And we're going to come back. We're going to talk about Bubba Wallace on the way back. There was a big topic yesterday where we actually had a guy who said that it wasn't a noose if it didn't work like a noose. One of the classic calls we've ever had. Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Twitter poll update. Yep. 4:30 update brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie Agonoff in the Twitter poll today.
Thanks, Mike. Over 800 votes on this one so far in light of the surge of coronavirus. Do you think the four major sports will complete their seasons uninterrupted? 18% say yes, 82% say no.
Wow. 82% say no.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's take the NBA percentage chance they finish the season.
90.
I think it's 90.
Yeah.
It's high.
Okay. All right. Baseball.
50-50.
I would put it, I think 40.
Less than 50.
I'm going less than 50.
Wow. Hockey.
Up 75. They're going to bubble, but it's a little more complicated. So better than baseball, but less than NBA.
All right. Brian, did you just pour yourself a soda?
Is it at the pond?
it sounds like fizz. Like, no. a little sparkling water? What are you
no, doing? Nothing to drink here. I go the whole hour without a beverage. So
okay.
Nothing to write. No.
Okay. All right. Was that the pond?
I'm in my office. No.
Oh, it sounded like what? I heard a little water.
I can't work from the pond. If I'm at the pond, I'll be fishing, bringing it.
Is it a fish tank? Like what?
No. Right. Are you hearing something?
I heard. It sounded like you were pouring a soda. Like I heard a little fizz over ice. I thought. All right. So, okay.
It's almost happy hour though. I tell you, after the call, after I'm done, I'll be at the happy hour.
See,
it won't be a soda. I'll tell you that.
It's the happy hour at the farm. Happy hour to far. Yeah. You and Pop tip one together.
Happy hour. Yeah, me and my dad will have a nice little cocktail right around 5:30-ish. That's right.
Oh, as you look out at the sun setting eventually, like sitting in an Adirondack.
Yeah, the sun will be setting. We have a little baby filly down there, little small horse, about 2 months old that we watch running around for a little bit, and then we go fishing for a little bit, and then talk trash. I say all types of crazy things to him.
All right, listen to this life. This is a life, man.
Uh-huh.
This is the life that I've always wanted.
First of all, on the farm?
Mike, you can have it.
Michael, you can have more.
I've invited Mike down here so many times.
I want to come down. When this clears up, I'm definitely coming down for the weekend because I want to get on one of those horses and ride with it. I'm not a novice to the horseback.
You're a horseman?
You're a horseman,
I'm
Mike?
I'm not a novice to it. I've ridden some horses.
I've done a little fishing.
To see this. Oh, yeah. I get that little spur tap and it's in the belly. Boom. Let's go.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Well, time to go.
I'm ready to go.
That's right.
All right. So I want to talk about this with you because something happened again today. Yeah, at a Chipotle in Indianapolis. But let's first talk about the Bubba Wallace news thing and they published the photo of it yesterday. So it's clearly a noose that somebody at Talladega fashioned last year, October of 2019. They said it was put down there. Now my question is this, like, because a lot of people now that are pushing back against the Black Lives Matter movement had their own little excuses all set. See? It was a fraud, blah, blah, blah. But the missing point of this is that somebody down there did it. Somebody down there enabled it for a lot of months that went by. And then, like, coincidentally, Bubba Wallace gets that stall. What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So my first thoughts, and again, I have never been to a NASCAR race in my life, and certainly have never been in the garages. And so my thought was, if this is something that happens and is across all of the garages of NASCAR, then the drivers should have spoke up immediately. They would be like, no, this is in my garage too, mm-hmm. and this is in all the garages that I've been in. And whoever was in that garage last year in October, they should be like, no, that news, that was there during that time as well. And so I kind of feel, and I, this is probably just a me thing, that it's a bit of a cover up, just a bit. They try to cover up for whatever reason, and I'm not sure. But I think that to your earlier point, that a lot of people are missing the point. Whether it was a noose or not, there still needed to be changes in NASCAR. Whether it was a noose or not, the Confederate flag needed to go. Whether it was a noose or not, we need to make sure that people around the world understand that Black lives actually do matter, that we need to fix the police brutality, that we need to stop the systematic racism, all those types of things. All those things are still issues. What I don't want our public, our fans, our people, our listeners to get caught up in is the small things and forget what we're actually trying to fix. Yeah, let's just say that this wasn't a noose. Let's just say it wasn't a act of racism on Bubba Wallace, which it seems. Let's just say it wasn't. At that point, that still doesn't fix the problem. It still doesn't say that now we have an answer for all these other things that have gone wrong. And unless we address those things, then we're still missing the point. So to me, I mean, I still think there's a bit of a cover-up. I still think that someone put that there on purpose. But I also believe that we can very easily try to get off the subject, which we should not allow the public to do. We should stay focused on fixing this one problem. And when we do fix that, then we can move on to different issues.
The thing that a lot of people in this country have not understood it, and I'm not understood, and I get emails all the time. Like, they challenge, like, give me, I don't know what you're talking about, systematic racism. Give me an example. It seems like everybody has opportunity to succeed in this world. I go, well, like, you want me to, like write a history book for you? Or, like, you can look at a news report on a daily basis. Like, for instance, the news being allowed up since October 2019 is the enabling of racist actions. It's hard for me to believe that people don't notice these little things. And today, or yesterday, I guess it was, Colts linebacker Darius Leonard got kicked out of a Chipotle. And he said he was just there with family. And he's dining with family and friends, all Black, at a Florence, South Carolina Chipotle when a manager ordered him to leave, saying a white customer claimed they were being verbally abusive. Leonard says the allegation was a total lie. So he's going, that's what being Black in America is right now. We're not even doing anything wrong. We're just going to go out to eat with your family, just spend a little bit of quality time. And the manager made the party leave after threatening to call the police.
Mike, let me say this. And, you know, I'm very good friends with a lot of white people. And some of them understand what white privilege is and some don't. And this is a prime example of white privilege. There was no benefit of the doubt given to Darius Leonard. There was no, you know, let's have a conversation. Let's figure out who's right or who's wrong, or if this is made up or not. It was automatically figured that he was in the wrong and that he needed to leave. That's part of, and the ability for a white person to be able to say, you know what, he did something, and they don't have to worry about the repercussions of that lie or saying something wrong like that. That's part of white privilege as well. And that's something that we continue to try to fight against. And that's what this whole movement is all about. Let's make sure that everyone is treated equally, that everyone is treated like a human being, like that they have rights and feelings. And let's do it that way. Instead, we still have people in this world that want to say that because I'm white or because I'm a certain race or a certain sex, I'm better than you. And that's where the problem lies. And until we fix that, you know, all these things will continue to happen. And to be honest with you, Mike, these things have been happening for so long And it wasn't, I mean, people have brought light to it in the past before, but it wasn't, the light wasn't shined upon it as much as it is today as it was in the past. And I just think that now is the time to make the movement to make things better. And I understand why I hear guys like Steven Jackson, the retired basketball player, saying we shouldn't play basketball. We should focus on the issue at hand. I understand and I hear what people are saying in that vein. And I just hope that we can try to find a way to figure out the solution to some of these things that our country is faced with.
I'm trying to get to the people that plead that they are unaware or that like they're oblivious. Like that's the thing that bugs me more than anything, that they just don't want to notice anything outside their own culture.
Well, they're oblivious because they want to be oblivious. If they open their eyes or even had a conversation. How about you have a conversation? I had a lot of my white friends come to me and say, you know what? Again, just like Carson Wentz said, I haven't been through a lot of the things you've been through, but I want to have the conversation. I want to have the moment where I can just have a better understanding so that when I'm in a mixed social group, I can have a better understanding of what you're going through. I can have a better understanding of what you've experienced in your life. And to me, that part of the conversation is what's most needed and I think will be the most helpful for a lot of people.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. Come down the home stretch with Brian Westbrook. You can climb in. Listen, there's not a lot of sports to talk about. I get it. But if there's anything on your mind today, I'd love to talk about it with you at 610-632-0975. Mike Missinelli Show after this comes back.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
We're 46. Mike Missinelli Show. 97.5 The Fanatic. So yesterday, of course, in the never-ending quest to find good TV, I settled on a couple hours worth of the Food Network. Yeah, so we got some gremlins in that line. That app. Did we lose them?
No, I potted them down. He's here.
Oh, you got them?
Yeah.
So I'm watching like 2 hours of Beat Bobby Flay.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Now, one of the judges on one of the shows is Eddie Jackson. Did you play against Eddie Jackson, Brian?
You know what? I think we did play against each other. He's an old safety, right?
Yes.
Yes. I know Eddie pretty decently. He was on a couple of shows that I've been on. But, yeah, so I know exactly who you're talking about. And I did play against him, yeah.
He's like a master chef now.
Yeah, he is. He's really good. He has a bunch of food trucks.
Yeah,
he has a restaurant as well.
Yeah, he's like judging food and like as the people are going through, they're like making whatever they're doing. He's guessing what they're going to do with it, and like he's like so knowledgeable. It's like I'm going, how did like during his career you had to study that like during your career? I mean, he's like a judge. Yeah,
super talented. He obviously has a palate, but he also has the knowledge. We've had him on the show, but I was doing a Fantasy Zone show a while ago. He was on it. He was just telling me about all the different things he had going on. Very knowledgeable and knows how to cook everything.
He was
food,
amazing.
Italian food, everything.
Yeah, he's knowledgeable about like every little thing. Mm-hmm. I was impressed. And of course, do you know who else was on that show? I Googled her to see like who she was dating right now. The former Miss America, who's now with Christian McCaffrey. And you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about Olivia Culpo. Have you seen Olivia Culpo, former Miss Universe, who's now. Now let me just go out because I want to get Tyrone's opinion on this. Because Tyrone has a slanted eye when it comes to females. Who are high maintenance. So she's Nick Jonas, Tebow, Danny Amendola most recently, and now young Christian McCaffrey, and she's like 5 years older than Christian.
Yeah. Not to be trusted.
She is a judge when the show lives. Apparently, her parents are in the food business, and they own a place in Rhode Island, I think.
Yes.
So she's in the food industry.
There are people that claim that her beauty's not all natural.
What do you mean?
That perhaps her parents' money, before anyone knew who she was in the beginning, when she turns 18 or sometimes under 18, certain rich parents will pay to make their daughters that much more beautiful when they want to enter that phase. That's a rumor.
They enhanced her?
Allegedly.
That's typical now. I mean, high school girls
get worked on with
the parents.
It's uncomfortable. But meanwhile, you look at the people that she's going to.
Uh-huh.
I'll give her a pass on Tebow because Tebow literally just married a different year's Miss Universe. So that's not her fault.
Right.
That's Tim's fault.
He has a type.
He just went for one Miss Universe and married a different year's Miss Universe.
Yeah.
Not just another pageant girl or pretty. He just picks Miss Universes.
Uh-huh.
I'll give her a free pass on that one. But to go from football player to football like that, come on. Football.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Are you on the side of true love between Olivia and Christian, or are you on the side of she's going to crush him?
She's going to destroy this man.
She's going to destroy him.
She's going to destroy
and
him.
He's coming off a career year. Oh, my goodness.
23 years old. Just got a bunch of money. She's 28. She's going to marionette that man.
This is like the Ben Simmons principle, though. Because people say, he's a young guy. Knock himself out. Love his life. Christian McCaffrey's the same, in the same category, isn't he?
Yes and no. Him and Kendall are close in age. Him and Kendall, you a woman 5 years older, if you go by Nat's theory, she's 12 years older in maturity.
Yeah.
That means she's manipulating the hell out of him.
He's young.
He don't know whether he's coming. If he's smart, mature.
Smart, but not mature.
Well, so
he's not mature?
Well, he's not automatically. He can be very book smart and get in that playbook, but you don't know if he's worldly. He's been in the football since he was...
No, McCaffrey, he has to be worldly. His dad was in the NFL. He's been around. He comes from... family that has had money.
He's still 23.
I think he can hold his own with Olivia.
All right, let's go back to a young B. West.
Uh-huh.
Similar player, as far as skill set, right?
Yeah. Right?
Way before he was married, right? Uh-huh.
We come from a totally different background. So
let's say your first good year. I know you didn't start right away. That first really good year, right? An older woman, 5 years older, former Miss Universe, come looking for B. West. I don't know if you're going to have full control of the situation, Brian.
I guarantee you that you're absolutely right about that. It would be hard to control the situation.
You know what I mean?
Because you know why? I think she's much more experienced. And I think Christian McCaffrey probably over the last 10 years has been focused on trying to get to the NFL, perfect his skill set level. And maybe his experience hasn't caught up to him at that point. And she's definitely been around the block. But I'm looking at her picture right now, and she's certainly beautiful, whether she had work done or not. She's certainly a beautiful woman.
Well, the reason that her and Danny Amendola broke up was because he said that because of her fishbowl lifestyle, because she just puts everything out there on the internet and he's a private person. Yeah. And he said that it felt toxic and fake.
Ooh.
Yeah. Those were his words.
I bet you Christian McCaffrey would probably feel the same way. I mean, just imagine being married to a woman that is so public about everything. That has to be annoying. There's times where my wife is annoyed at some of the things that I put up on my Instagram and social media. She's like, oh, this is just too much. I mean, you're sharing way too much. You shouldn't have. That picture that I put up last week that my wife took.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, the boots.
She wasn't happy about that. Why are you sharing our private moments at home? I mean, to the world.
I can see her side of it. But, you know, listen, it's tough to walk away from Miss Universe.
Tough to walk away from her.
I'm saying that this is pain that's going to help.
Is that a tough step for Danny Amendola to make that step?
No.
Well,
Danny's doing just fine.
Yeah.
No, Christian McCaffrey's making $16 million bucks a year.
He can
obviously find another.
Exactly. He's on a higher level than Danny Amendola, so he can compete with her as far as the attention goes.
Right, but I think when she breaks his heart, it's going to harden him as a man. See, he's going to be harder hit than any football hit he's ever taken.
Well, time out.
I think he'll be fine.
Nat, correct me if I'm wrong. You go through a couple of relationships. Things don't work out with high-profile individuals. If you're Olivia, and now she's like, okay, I'm going to get a younger man. I'm going to help to mold him, help him in the areas where I probably wasn't as helpful before. And this may be a perfect situation for McCaffrey. I got an older woman that's been around. She's been around NFL players. She's been around sports figures, and maybe she can help me be a better man. I have to believe that with McCaffrey has to be thinking that.
Yeah, well, she zeroed in on the hottest element that's going on in football right now.
And so. You just got paid, too. Goodness gracious.
Exactly. So yeah. It's like, you know, I'm sure she did some research. She zero, my man.
Hold on. What was his stats last year?
Absolutely.
All right. Brian, listen, man, you have a great weekend. Catch some fish, you know, relax with a cocktail with Pop, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Take care.
All right, there he is, Brian Westbrook on the farm. 610-632-0975. Yes, we're wide open in the 5 o'clock hour. So here's where I want to ask. It's obvious that the people are not engaged in talking about sports or maybe even the issues because they're pretty heavy. We've talked about it a lot and maybe you're weary of it. So as far as the sports conversation goes, here's the question for the 5 o'clock hour. Are you not talking about it because A, nothing's happening? B, sports is finally in perspective for you? Or C, there's a lack of Philly buzz? And I was trying to create Sixers winning the championship thing. I can't bite that Twizzler. I can't bite that Twizzler.
As far as
them winning the whole thing. So like,
No, I agree. Winning the whole thing.
Or even getting to the finals.
I agree with you there, too. So I think conference finals is the ceiling.
That's why I'm not plunged.
I would like to see conference finals, though. I would enjoy it.
I hope. I'm hopeful. Mike Misnelli Show, back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.